The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Another beautiful day in the metropolitan area, and hopefully you'll have an opportunity to get out there and take a stroll and walk and get your health index up where it should be. But, you know, make sure that you take me with you if you go earlier. Today's program is a little different, a little off of what we normally do, but it's one that's, I think it's well overdue, one that we have to take a really good hard look at as we go through. So what am I talking about? Those of you who know me know that I've steered clear of regular political platforms. I've been in charge of some international groups and some national groups and so forth, but they're all professional. But we're at a place where we have to start answering questions about what's really taken place over the last several years. The lockdowns, are they legal? The mandatory vaccines that were impugned upon so many different people. And I had the opportunity, the privilege of meeting someone who just got my attention. And you know that I probably lean conservatively. I'm not registered as a Republican or a Democrat, but my issues look at things as they are, not as we want to misinterpret and reinterpret them as being. And I met a gentleman that is a constitutional law attorney, very successful over several decades, and one who's taken cases to the Supreme Court as well as state level agencies and courts. And he's local. He's a guy that is out of Clifton, Virginia, and he's going to try to capture the Republican nomination to run against Tim Kaine in the next senatorial election for U.S. Senate. It's none other than a man by the name of Jonathan Emore. Jonathan, welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I really could spend about 3 days asking you a whole bunch of different types of questions, but at the end of the day, you know, your background, your capacity, your ability is pretty straightforward. There's no garbage about it. And that's really what has me very interested in someone like you who is, we'll use the term straight shooter. Anyway, welcome to the program, Jonathan.
Great. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Listen, you know, we've gone through, as far as I'm concerned, hell and high water over the last 3 years. And actually, if you look at the background on this thing, this wasn't something that just initiated in March of 2020, but it goes to even all the way back to 2013. And you see the stage, you see the players. You have an interesting book that's called The Authoritarians. And I think this is what we're calling, what we're talking about. We're talking about technocracy. We're talking about people who want to reshape not only this country, the United States of America, but the world in their own image and not what people should have and have a right to having. But let's start with the legality, if you will, of what's taken place over the last few years, the lockdowns, the shutdowns, the mandatory masking, the vaccines, people losing their jobs, children committing suicide, and so forth. What's your thoughts?
Yes, this is a really horrendous example of authoritarianism, authoritarian control over our lives. So you have individuals in government who feel unconstrained by the Constitution's limits on power, who actually have a visceral hatred for, I think, the Constitution's limits, so that they have no problem whatsoever with using a virus as an excuse, an emergency, quote unquote, to take away your rights. So you lose your right to travel, you lose your right of freedom of religion because you can't go to worship. You lose your right to a freedom of assembly, and they don't abide by the Constitution's strictures, which would make any national alteration in the law something that would have to originate in Congress. So you have all of these edicts coming out of the presidents and governors without the state legislatures or the Congress, in the first instance acting. But then at root, the actions that were taken to mask people and to compel them to be vaccinated in companies of 100 or more, or be tested, all of these things deprive you of your sovereignty, of your individual liberty, of your control over your personal autonomy. And so they are huge invasions of right. And they start from a very evil premise, really. And that is that if people left alone to decide what is in their own best interest are allowed to do so, that that somehow creates harm to to everyone else. And the reality, both scientific and legal, is that in this country, we staked our all on the sovereignty of the individual to decide for him and her, him or herself, what is in his own best interest. The definition given us by Thomas Jefferson of equality is really, or liberty, excuse me, is at the root of what we are. He said that rightful liberty is unobstructed action according to will within limits drawn around us by the equal rights of others. He said, I did not say within the limits of the law, because the law is often but the tyrant's will, and always so when it violates the rights of an individual. Here we have the violations of the rights of individuals writ large, no accountability for it, false representations, collusion with media to censor information, and this has suppressed and actually deprived people of life-saving interventions and the freedom between a physician and a patient, where the physician exercises independent professional judgment and does so in response to the specific history and unique characteristic of the patient. That was all wiped out during this era of COVID control. So those are some of the things. It's a big topic, but at root, we should never have mandates again, never allow the government to presume that it has the right to take away our rights. And we must insist that the Bill of Rights is respected, whether in times of illness or health, whether in times of crisis or not. Our rights were meant to be protected from government. We were not meant to be enslaved by the government.
Jonathan, let me ask you a question. You know, as we've gone through this, and my listeners know my position relative to listening to information, I always end the program by saying, you know, I don't want you to believe anyone, including me. What I want to do is provoke you to do your own homework and to get just a look at both sides, look to the right, look to the left, but really understand what it is. But in this particular situation, my opinion is that the data, both sides, unless you get outside the country, you go to PubMed, you go to Grateful Med, you go to publications of that nature, and there's many others, and you're going to see both sides of it. But we have been, all we've been doing is we've been inundated, if you will, with talking points, and that have really no substance, no basis, except for, you know, what the originators of those talking points want us to think about and to believe. You see the funding that was put out there to put people on ventilators. You know, the hospital diagnosed somebody with COVID, they got so many dollars. If they put them on a ventilator, they got so many more. Total about $39,000 per individual. There was motivation there. The Chinese actually got rid of their ventilators early on because they found out that they didn't work and they were actually killing people. But then they locked their people down and now they got what they have, that people have no immunological responses. So here's the situation. How do you, if you are successful going forward and into the U.S. Senate, how do you make sure that the public is not lied to? That is, that they absolutely have both sides of the platform to make their own decisions, because what we're talking about is freedom of choice in your own healthcare.
Well, I think you've got to direct, as the founding fathers intended, the First Amendment against the government. That's its whole purpose, to be a check on government. And we've lost that. We have media collusion with the White House on the issue of vaccine suppression of criticism and so forth. So what do you do? Well, you pass legislation to make it a felony prosecutable by the federal government if a government agent colludes with media, big tech, to censor information or to mislead the public as to health information. And you force the government also to publicly reveal information that is contrary to its position on the issue. So, for example, the FDA would repeatedly take the position that essentially vaccination is the only answer, that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were not effective early treatments, contrary to a wealth of evidence. The government shouldn't be in that business at all. It should not be telling us what the medical community ought to be doing. We should leave that, as the founding fathers intended, in the hands of individual physicians in within the province of the states, so that it's a falsehood, fundamentally falsehood, to tell someone that they are an appropriate candidate for a specific treatment, universal treatment. There is no such thing as a universal treatment. We're all different. And so we have to give the freedom to the medical community and to healthcare providers writ large to advise with their best understanding of a particular patient's needs what is in that patient's interest. And instead, we went this one-size-fits-all approach, and we censored all of the information to the contrary through the use of government collusion with the media, government collusion with big tech, and strong-arming state medical boards, which then went after physicians who did not follow this party line. Or in California, you got the governor. His efforts have been held unconstitutional. But trying to censor physicians, even if they were to dare to criticize. Look, science, as you well know, science is debate. We evolve. The only way we are able to innovate in science is if we have a wide open, robust debate and discussion of the issues. With regard to COVID, if we had that debate, if we allowed for criticism, we would have had a much better outcome, I am sure, because we would have allowed physicians to tailor treatments to patients' needs, and we wouldn't have had this single protocol, which didn't work for so many died. I think it would have been a far better outcome. And it's not to say that those who advocated the vaccine would not be able to speak. To the contrary, they could speak, but so could those who were critical of it. And the public would then decide with their own physicians what was each person's best interest. And that is the way we've always dealt with health issues. We've had remarkable success in our history of medicine as a result of that very approach. And the deviation from it, where we've allowed bureaucrats to decide for us what's in our health interest, that has been a disaster, not only here, but worldwide. Socialism doesn't work, period. Socialism doesn't work in medicine, just like in every other area. A free market is the best approach, and it works magnificently, particularly with novel problems, because innovation is the genius of free enterprise. Innovation is not the genius. In fact, there is no genius of bureaucracy. That was the mistake.
No, it always has been straight up. If we've ignored it, we've put it aside. My guest today is Jonathan Emord. He is running for the Republican position against Tim Kaine in Virginia, coming up in a year from this fall. A very, very important position that he takes, and that you should have freedom. And that's obviously, Dr. Tom Roselle's position on this program and has been for over a couple of decades. You need to know, you need to understand. We're coming up to a break. If you'd like to call the program today at 888-630-9625, that's 888-630-9625, please do. Ask whatever you'd like to ask. We'll be here, as we normally are, digging into the depth and asking questions and empowering you to do the same in your own life. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Roselle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roselle Live, a very interesting program, a little different than what we normally do, but still on topic. We're talking about freedom of choice in healthcare, your ability to make decisions, but also your ability to get the right and true information so you can make decisions for you and your family that is appropriate based on fact, not on manipulation and things of that nature. You know how I have been over the last 3.5 years, 4 years, relative to all this craziness that has been put upon us. And still the shroud of fear still veils over this country. Many of us are getting smarter at this point and realize we've been duped. There's tremendous amount of information finally that's coming to the surface, things that I've told you about repetitively. But my guest today is a gentleman who I have tremendous admiration for, one who is running for the Republican nomination to run for U.S. Senate out of Virginia, Jonathan Emord. Jonathan, I'm not going to get into it. Your background sets the stage for itself, and I'm going to encourage everybody to check you out online. It's beyond impressive. I can sit here and talk to you all day long on virtually every subject that has to do with healthcare. But let's get back into this just a little bit. We have a short segment right now. And by the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. If you'd like to call and ask a question, please do. Don't hesitate. Give us a call. We're talking a little bit about the vaccines, and I'd like to kind of follow up on that a little bit. And they were mandated. People lost their jobs, their livelihoods, not even talking about the lockdowns. But now we're seeing people dying, dropping dead from the side effects of these drugs. We know that the non-combatant military deaths have increased from about 125 a year up to over 1,200 a year. Just statistically, that has to get your attention. And across the board, every situation like that, these cardiac deaths, heart failures in elite athletes. We saw one a few weeks ago, a young guy that dropped on the field. And, you know, nobody's admitting that it was a result of the booster that he had gotten a few days later. But, you know, thinking minds and quizzical minds say, maybe it could have been. What's your take on all this? You know, is this something that we should do when countries at risk, or are they using this because of other means and other reasons?
Well, I think that this is really a question of government seizing an opportunity to gain control. And I believe that people with an authoritarian predisposition, socialists, for example, look at this as an opportunity to capitalize on fear and to engender a degree of fear that vastly exaggerates the full extent of this. Sure, this was a horrible thing, but it was, as we can very well see now, it was manageable in retrospect by allowing physicians to care specifically for the needs of patients rather than adopting this uniform national program. But in addition, we see that we were lied to throughout, and that individuals like Tim Kaine, who fully advocated the authoritarian measures of the lockdowns, under the Northam regime in Virginia, and of all of the restrictions on freedom, even to the extent of disallowing you to leave your house from midnight to 5 a.m. under Northam's executive order number 72, and all of the masking requirements on public transportation and so on. We have to ask ourselves, well, did they actually tell you the truth when they said they were following the science? When the adverse events showed up for these drugs, we found that there are more adverse events associated with the COVID vaccine per capita than any single vaccine and all vaccines combined in history. So this is an enormous issue, and it's not being dealt with honestly with the people. We're not conducting research to determine who is vulnerable to adverse effects of the vaccine so the people can be alerted in advance. I think that it's a dangerous situation for most people. And furthermore, you have to ask yourself why. For example, why did Kaine and others insist that children be vaccinated when we know that the evidence plainly does not support that? Children are actually put at higher risk from the vaccine than any potential benefit that could come from it. Children do very well with the virus. They have mild symptoms ordinarily, and they have fulsome immunity from it afterwards. It does not rank as a serious threat to the lives of most children by and large. Why then did they insist that all children be vaccinated? Why have they insisted that people with autoimmune disorders and so forth be vaccinated? Why have they put our nation's national security at risk by forcing people to be vaccinated even against their religious scruples to the contrary, which is protected by the First Amendment? Why have they insisted that people be driven out of police departments in our own state, of hospitals in our own state? Nurses and doctors have been driven out of the profession They have caused the military to lose some of its best officers and brightest, even in the special forces. And we depend on this for our national security. We now have a 15,000, actually a full regiment size reduction in military enlistments at the same time that we take the best and brightest and getting them out.
Jonathan, hold that thought. We're up against the bottom of the hour. We have to take a short break, and then we'll come back. And I want to continue to follow through on that thought process. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. My guest today, a doctor in my field, Jonathan Emord. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Please don't go away.
Dr. Tom Rizal Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. We're back with a very interesting program today, one that is kind of, you know, unparalleled, but a little different than what I usually do. Most of you know my stance over the last 3.5 years relative to what's taking place and the lockdowns and the vaccines and the misguided information, the misapplication of information, if you will. And, you know, as doors open up, you meet people who get your attention. And today my guest is one of those folks that really got my attention relative being honest, straightforward, thinks like I think, loves what I love, and he happens to be the anointed one, if you will, for the Republican nomination to run for U.S. Senate in a year and a half from now, a year from this fall, Jonathan Emord. Again, Jonathan, welcome to the program. To say that you're impressive is putting it very mildly. To say that you're straightforward and honest, you have the background to prove that. You've been up against some of the tyrants, if you will, in my opinion, over many years, taking cases to the Supreme Court and winning, and both constitutional law and administrative law. Welcome to the program again, but let's get into it. And by the way, for those of you who'd like to pose a question, we're here at 888-630-9625. The program's live. I'd love to have you, you know, step in if you have something very specific that you'd like to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the conflicts of interest that are threatening healthcare. And I've brought it to my audience's attention over the last couple, 2-3 years, that there's been a lot of backdoor payoffs. We talked a little bit about what happened with the ventilators. If somebody got a diagnosis of COVID for whatever reason, and then they put them on a ventilator on top of that, the payoff from the federal government was $39,000 per patient. That's an addition and above and beyond. And if they died, it was like $250,000. So many people were being diagnosed with COVID and put on ventilation for no reason whatsoever. If they had treated them normally, meaning from an allopathic platform, and they used steroids and oxygen availability and so forth, millions of lives would have been saved. Let's talk a little bit about that conflict of, you know, where's the incentive coming from? Where are these dollars being brought forth from? And, you know, why weren't people told the truth about it?
Well, from the very start of this, we have the elements of a total betrayal of the American people and a conflict of interest. So Dr. Anthony Fauci wittingly worked with the Communist Party of China through their proxies at the Wuhan lab in developing the gain-of-function research necessary to create the virus. In fact, he's on record much earlier than the presence of the virus, saying that this type of gain of function research was necessary. And even when asked by a reporter whether it was worth the risk of a pandemic, he said, yes, the research is worth a pandemic. And it's that unfortunate reality that colors the mind of this person who is really a very hedonistic individual who decided early on that he would advance this whole movement and push this thing through gain of function research, knowing full well the risks. In fact, even when the risks manifested themselves, he was engaged in deception. And we have this campaign of deception from the start with this, where they're telling people first, no mask is necessary. Then they're telling people masks are necessary, despite the absence of science for it. Then he even gets to the point of saying you need to wear 3 masks. And then, you know, it's absurd, but that's actually what he's insisting upon. And then when it comes to the origin of this, of course, it's the gain of function research. Every single bit of information that has any credibility points to the Wuhan lab as a source. And the idea that it came from nature, well, where's the proof? There is none. And so yet, despite the absence of proof, he insists upon that because it draws attention away from his role, which was indispensable in funding and aiding through Peter Zazik at EcoHealth, through Dr. Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, this gain-of-function research. And even to the extent of violating executive orders that were designed to shut down this gain-of-function research, he would circumvent that. But more to your point, he also has patents that he developed over the years related to AIDS, and information related to those patents were used in the development of the virus, and others too. And years ago, there was an unfortunate move undertaken by the government, which would allow people, it was designed to create an incentive for people to stay in government, which would allow people in government to get patents and be co-patent owners with agencies or even individual patent owners, and they could profit off of that. Well, we don't know the extent to which Anthony Fauci has profited, but we do know that he did profit in association with this. And the details need to come out through congressional inquiries. But the point is, he's one example of many who have profited off of maximizing the number of people who are vaccinated in this country. That despite the fact that the vaccine doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, that despite the fact that the vaccine doesn't prevent you from carrying COVID and giving it to other people. And they lied about that all the way through, including the president. And they lied. They said that if you get the vaccine, you won't get COVID. That was a lie. They said that if you're vaccinated, you won't carry it. That's a lie. They said that only those who are unvaccinated pose a risk because only they will transmit the disease. That was a lie. They divided our country. They abused people. They allowed people to die because they didn't get early treatment, because it wasn't available. They intimidated physicians out of giving it, all to maximize the profit associated with the vaccine. And you have to really now deconstruct this, because the truth is ultimately going to come out, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. We already see the elements that show people profiting off of this magnificently around the world, who had an economic interest and who are protected. So once again, we see that with big government comes corruption, and with a lack of accountability comes even more corruption. And when you use censorship to prevent accountability because you won't allow criticism, you end up with magnifying the instances of abuse. Opportunists come in and they profit magnificently because they can operate in the dark. There isn't a critical press.
Well, as you said, you know, as things begin to unfold, it's going to be revealing, but it's not going to be pretty, and it's going to be very significant finger pointing with truth behind it. You know, for example, there are people that really don't understand that the CDC is owned by Big Pharma, and they run huge dollar contributions and are able to control and direct. That's where Fauci and company got so much of the money. And when it came to gain of function, and it was outlawed, and this goes back to 2019, the beginning of the year, Fauci said, well, we can ignore it because our project has already been funded, so we might as well use the money. That's how he repositioned it. He wasn't going to lose that money. That's known information at this point. And so when you're looking at where these dollars are coming from, and we could sit here and we could probably cite dozens of the same ilk, but when you had things that worked like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and they cost pennies compared to the other medications that they were purporting that supposedly worked, but they didn't. They were killing laboratory animals and so forth. I was a part of an organization that had a product that was very inexpensive. And for basically $200, you'd wipe this thing out. It stopped the replication of the virus 30,000 times within 18 hours, and just shut it down. So it didn't kill the virus. The virus killed itself because it couldn't grow, but it was not profitable. So why use something that's not profitable? Number one. Number two, why use something that is actually going to restore health when you're, in my opinion, the directive was not to restore health, but to destroy health. And that's what we're looking at. So how do you go about stopping this? How do you, let's go to the information piece. How do we ensure moving forth that the American public has the ability to really get the data that is correct and understand it so they can consume it and make the decisions that are appropriate to them and their families?
You first have to make it a crime for anyone to collude from within the government, an agent of the government, to collude with the media to influence the content of communications, private communications. The second thing you need to do is put an affirmative obligation by statute on the government to publish the adverse events, to ensure that the public has full access to the adverse events. And the third thing you need to do is to create incentives through tax reductions for private research on, notice I said tax reductions. I didn't say new federal expenditures. And the reason for that is that you get government control when you have federal expenditures, and they would influence the process probably in deleterious ways. But I'm talking about tax deductions, reductions, for institutions to perform research to identify the extent of adverse effects of the virus and the individuals who are at particular risk. And then that information needs to be published. We need to stop this movement to rush vaccines into people's arms in an endemic phase when the probability is that they're going to get a mild form of the virus and they're going to build up a fulsome immunity. 80% of the American population has already had COVID, over 80% probably now. That's a little old, the statistic. But that means that most people are operating with fairly good immune system protection naturally. And we've also discovered in recent scientific research that the immune system protective properties of natural immunity vastly exceed the protective properties associated with the vaccine that tend to be limited to the earlier iteration of the virus and only to the spike protein aspect, not to the other deleterious physical and debilitating aspects of the virus. So we are in fairly good shape as a nation, and we ought not be pressing people to get vaccinated anymore. It ought to end. We ought to cut off the federal funding for the promotion of the vaccines. There ought to be an immediate cessation of that. That should be cut from the budget. And furthermore, we need truth to come to the fore. We need experts not to be intimidated. We need to make clear that if any action is taken to cut off funding for scientists or others from federal government projects based on any evidence of bias associated with their private communication and publication of their actual positions, that would be a grounds for prosecution of those responsible. So we have to turn, government has become so big and we've seen the evidence of censorship. We now have to work against government to end censorship, and we need to liberate free speech in the marketplace so that the criticisms can be communicated widely to the public. And we need to end the the collusion between the government, the White House, for example, and big tech and the media. If we do all of that, we'll have a multiplicity of voices. We will have true science. Fauci's not science. Science is debate. Dictator Fauci is not science. Science is debate. Let the debate roll. Let the American people receive it. Let doctors consider it. Let them, in coordination with their patients, recommend what they consider to be best. And let the practice of medicine proceed. And out of that will come the best health outcomes overall.
You know, it was unfortunate during the midst of all this nonsense, Fauci purporting that remdesivir was the only drug of choice, and what had already proven that it was deadly. It killed every laboratory animal that they tried it on, and they knew what the side effects were, but they did it because I alluded to earlier in the program, the profit margins were significant. But they still continue to put, how do you not pursue somebody who knows the information relative to its contraindications mildly and significantly, the death toll that is accumulated because of it? How do you not pursue them? How do you not go after them and charge them for genocide?
Well, sadly, we have a double standard operating in the justice system in this country. We see that people like Fauci are being allowed to go scot-free despite all of the carnage that he's caused as a result of false statements made to the public, not false statements made because he was unsophisticated, a rube, a person who didn't have the actual knowledge or information, but false statements that he knowingly made, willfully made, and had an intent conflict of interest that would promote that. And so he needs to be prosecuted. He needs to be investigated fully. And I believe Rand Paul is working on that. But it should be an investigation by the Department of Justice to determine the extent to which he violated federal law while in office, and to determine the extent to which he made knowingly false statements that have caused injury to the public. And from that, we ought to be able to come up with good grounds to prosecute Fauci, and he really should be made to account. He is more of a betrayer of our country than Benedict Arnold. We historically have said Benedict Arnold was one of the greatest betrayers of the United States. Well, colluding with communists, as Fauci did, in gain-of-function research that resulted in a virus that killed over a million Americans is quite an extraordinary event that he must account for.
I hope he does. Jonathan, we're coming up to that part of the program that we have to take a break, and it's been a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the program because you're straight. You know the Constitution. You know the application. I wish you well. We're going to have you on the program again, and we'll discuss more specific elements of the healthcare as it relates to what we should have and deserve as people. And you more than anybody else. And my guest today, Jonathan Emord, he is running for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate out of Virginia. And to say this guy is smart is an understatement. Jonathan, again, thank you very much, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rozelle.
Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. We appreciate you letting everybody know about who we are, what we do, and the fact that we're here for you to give you the information for you to make decisions upon. Had a different program today, one that hopefully shed a little light on the subject. Those of you who know me know that I try to stay away from politics generally, and if you look me up, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm just me, and I have a tendency to lean to constitutional conservatism. That's the nature of who I am as a kid. We were talking offline, and my undergraduate degree, my primary degree, was political economics, and my minor was in pre-medical sciences. I don't know how those ugly bedfellows, came about and brought me to where I am today, but they did. So my job is to give you as much data, as much information as I possibly can, so you can make decisions. Remember, I've said repetitively, don't believe anything that I say to you or anybody else. Do your homework. My job is to provoke you. My job is to say, what do you mean by that? And then go do your homework. That's why I wrote my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. And I want you to take that and embrace that. It's in your hands. Over the last 3.5 years, in my opinion, you have not had that opportunity. You have not been given the right information. You've been deluded, and you have been purposely redirected for a lot of different reasons. And I want to take pieces of this program and begin to explore that with you and ask hard questions. Now, I had Jonathan Emord on because I respect his history, his background, his knowledge of constitutional law and administrative law, and his success. And the man is a straight shooter. Now, having said that, I'm willing to look at both sides of the subject. And if there's anybody out there that's part of Tim McCain's campaign, I'll be more than happy to entertain them on the program and ask some questions of him as well. So you have both sides of the scale. Happy to do that for you. Just reach out, tell them to call Dr. Tom Rozelle Live or send me a note at drtomrozelle.com, and we'll invite them. We'll love to have him here and as our guest, and we'll talk about it, and we'll talk about everything that's unfolded and what the opinions are, and we'll talk about even the stance that he took in supporting our ex-governor, not our current governor in Virginia, but our ex-governor when it comes to abortion. Like to hear what he has to say about it and the mandates and the lockdowns and so forth. You know, it's time that we have an open and frank discussion, because it's your health we're talking about. It's your emotional health. It's your physical, chemical health. You need to have the data so you can make the decisions properly. You know, think about this last few years. At no time did any network, no matter who they were sponsored, maybe they were asked, maybe they weren't, but there was nothing that was presented where it was a real cogent, scientific, objective debate and discussion of the information back and forth. There was no one out there talking about how this all began to evolve, going back to even the beginning of 2019. And if you look at the information going back to 2013 and all the pieces of the puzzle that began to unfold. And so how do we get these to take place? My job is to protect you. My job is to give you the health information that you need to have and to make sure that you understand it. I'll give you my opinion if it's my opinion, and I'll tell you where to find the information, you know, when I've said this is so because of this, and you can do your own homework and say, hey, Dr. Tom, I don't think I believe you. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you did the homework to be able to make that statement. And we need to work together to make sure that we have the correct information that hasn't been diluted, that hasn't had a veil put over the top of it, or only partial truths to draw conclusions that may or may not be appropriate. So as we go forward, we'll take little segments of that, because I think that all of you need to get involved, one side or the other. You know, we discuss in my own house, you can't complain about something unless you're willing to become proactive. I've given you data how to protect your health. We've talked about the applications of vitamin D and zinc, and we've talked about different type of herbs. We've talked about melatonin and its activity patterns. We talked about even masking with the heavy metals that are embedded in the layers of the surgical mask. They're called titanium dioxides, and they can cause significant problems neurologically within your system. And to double or triple mask, or even to wear a mask on an ongoing basis, is tantamount to, you know, destroying a human being's capacity to function. So we're going to make sure that you have that. And you can give me a call anytime, or send me a note at rosellcare.com or drtomrosell.com. And let me know what you'd like to hear, and we'll make that happen. But continually, we'll give the information. I want to remind you, the 15th in-house, we're going to be doing a program on your brain and how to restore and get function back. I hope you enjoyed the program today. I hope it's something that you really got some benefit, or at least provoked you to do something a little different than, you know, and maybe that difference is to actually think through the process and not accept the garbage that's out there. That's my job, is to make sure that you have that opportunity, that you have the ability to make your own decisions and not listen, if you will, to the authoritarians, the technocrats that have another agenda. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rosell Live. And remember, we do this for one reason only. I love you all. Bye.